Welcome to the Baseball America Podcast. Baseball America, bringing you baseball news you can't get anywhere else for more than 35 years. Now it's time to talk baseball.
Hey everyone, another Baseball America Podcast here. JJ Cooper and Matt Eddy as we continue to roll through our division drafts, as we like to call them. We did this in 2014 where we take every division, we lop off the number one prospects, and then we draft teams of talent from everyone else in the division. We did this in 2014, and we appreciate it. We had a listener asked, hey, could you do that again? And we kind of enjoyed doing it the first time, so we said, yeah, we'll do that again. But before we do that, we do want to remind you, we want to thank you first of all for tuning in to the Baseball America Podcast. We thank you for the downloads, for subscribe on iTunes or Android or anywhere that you can get your podcast. We do ask you, if you enjoy the podcast, please write a review for us, especially on iTunes. That helps other people to discover the Baseball America Podcast. But as always, our Baseball America Podcasts are sponsored by Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and kids. If you're a baseball fan, you need to check out Baseballism.com or visit their retail locations in Cooperstown, New York, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Visit Baseballism.com and enter the code BA2017 to save 20% off. If you haven't seen any of, go to baseballism.com, you can check it out, or check out our Facebook Live if you want to see some of the shirts. We wear them in the Facebook Lives we do at Baseball America on Facebook, Baseball America Mag. They're really cool stuff. I mean, Baseballism is a company that understands baseball. The shirts are some that basically, the way I can describe it, if you haven't seen one of them, is they're shirts that if you walk by someone wearing a Baseballism shirt, you know that that person right away is a baseball fan, but it's often done in kind of a subtle way. I like the turn two shirt that is basically a turn sign and the number two. If you walk by someone who's not a baseball fan, they don't have any clue what you're doing there. But if you walk by a baseball fan, they immediately know, okay, that's a hardcore baseball fan. That's why we like Baseballism. So, Matt, we are coming into second base here on our look through the divisions. We're on our third division. We've drafted the NL West. Mm-hmm. We've drafted the AL West. And now we put us to the NL Central, which you have the first pick. And you have the first pick in a draft here that I feel like, I think you agree, this is probably the best draft of these six that we're going to do. This is a loaded division. Mm-hmm. You have a loaded Brewers farm system, a Pirates farm system that has some really interesting prospects at the top of the list. The Cardinals list is pretty good. The Cubs list has some guys. There's not an organization in this division where you say, man, we're not going to be taking you guys from them.
Yeah, and so far we've had the Diamondbacks are our only Ofer organization.
Congratulations to the Angels. Matt Theis,
yes,
keeping you from going to Ofer. So good job for them.
So these are the ineligible prospects because they rank number one. Austin Meadows of the Pirates, Lewis Brinson of the Brewers, Alex Reyes of the Cardinals.
Ouch.
Nick Senzel of the Reds, and Eloy Jimenez of the Cubs.
Before we dive in, let me ask you. If we made Alex Reyes available,
mm-hmm.
Tommy John,
mm-hmm.
going to be out for all of 17, probably going to be out considering the timing of the injury for most of 18. But he was our number one pitcher on the board before all this.
Mm-hmm.
Would he be the first player you take off the board?
No, not if Austin Meadows was available. Or are you saying?
No, I'm saying from all these other guys, though.
Okay, like, if we threw Reyes into our pool.
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I think the injury is significant enough and young enough where he hasn't established anything that it still represents too much risk. How about you?
I follow you. I think I would still take him, Norman, but knowing that basically what I'm doing is I'm essentially buying low. Like,
right.
I'm doing it from the standpoint of, I would put it as, let's say there's a 10 to 15% shot that I'm going to get nothing out of that pick, and then there's a
15, it's higher than that.
And that's to get nothing. Like, I'd say that the failure rate on this is guys who really take a significant step back is about 10 to 15%. And I'm giving him more credit for, I mean, what he did at the end of the season last year to say, this is a guy who established that he already had big league stuff, the ability to do it at the big league level,
right,
where even if there is just a little bit of degradation, I still think he's a very useful big league pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Did
you see the Joe Posnanski piece on MLB.com where he looked at players? And I thought, like, if I had to pick one of these guys to comp to Alex Reyes, probably Kerry Wood. like a power breaking ball, power fastball. Had TJ right after his debut. Came back and had a good career, but not as good as you would have expected, and not as much as a starter as you would have expected.
A massively disappointing career considering where he was. Like, because Kerry Wood pre-injury looked like the guy who would be.
Right.
We'd be talking about him as one of the great pitchers of. I mean, he was a comet. Like, you know, you watch that 20K game and you look at it and say, how did this guy end up being just another pitcher? But
in most seasons, he did have a couple standout years.
Right. But the reality of it is that it was brief. I mean, it was brief. And the top end of it was brief for him. And, yeah, that is – it's a concern.
Okay, so I'm picking first.
Sorry, you're picking first. Just a pour rain on our parade before we ever start. But Matt's picking first.
Okay, I believe this player is ranked the highest on our top 100, so I'm just going to take Mitch Keller of the Pirates, the Iowa high school right-hander. And
this guy checks every box for – if you're going to take a high school right-hander, this guy checks the Maddie boxes. Checks my boxes too. But when you talked about when you took Forrest Whitley and how – that was a guy that led to concerns for you.
My scouting staff was split on that one.
But Mitch Keller, I think, this is, you're not pulling, we talked in the last podcast also how you were pulling Costanza and you were going to go the opposite of your gut. This is going with the Matt Eddy high school pitcher profile.
However, he did essentially miss 2015 with an elbow injury, so there's always that on the horizon. But
so that's why you are Costanzing it.
I think in terms of fastball and breaking ball quality and ability to throw strikes at a young age, I don't think there's few guys who are as good or better than Mitch Keller right now in the minors.
No, he's that's a very solid pick to go here because you took him. Oh, I feel like I'll take a pitcher and I'll take a little gamble here, but upside beyond belief, which is I'll take Mr. Tyler Glasnow and his improved changeup that we've seen so far in spring training. More improved changeup, really, what comes down to Glasnow. Hey, he could not have been better in his first. Let's put way too much weight in two great innings than a spring training debut. And it was a great spring training debut. He completely shoved. No, I'm not taking
University
him.
Of Tampa couldn't touch him.
No, it was pretty, yeah, he faced actually against pro hitters. But it was very impressive. I'm not going to go, really, I'm not picking him for that reason. But we've always said with Tyler Glasnow, I mean, no one generates better weak contact in the minors over the last 3-4 years than Tyler Glasnow. Tyler Glasnow, no one hits him. And I mean by no one hits him, his career average against is pretty much on par with the best single seasons that anyone else has put together during his time in the minors. It's at a different, it's at a level of magnitude better when it comes to opponents average against. Now, the one thing about that is the guy who would be second on that list over that time would have been a guy named Henry Owens, who has had control troubles. Tyler Glasnow has had control troubles.
But even when Owens was at the forefront of our prospect minds, he didn't have the stuff.
No, never did. Glasnow's stuff is, if he has 50 control and command, he's a frontline starter.
40, if he's 40, 45.
If he has 40, 45, he could be a big league starter. Because he can do enough things to work around. I mean, they're different. They're very different type pitchers. But think Edison Volquez and how Edison Volquez in most years survives with walk rates that seem like they're too high to survive.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Tyler Glasnow could do without getting much better.
And the reason why we're putting on the rose-tinted glasses with Tyler Glasnow's control and saying, oh, if he's a 40, I mean, he's got a made, is he was between a 20 and a 30 last year in AAA.
Yes. Now, again, you don't get grades like that. I always like to say to point out because I've had scouts tell me. But if you look at what his statistically, and you do it by standard deviations and all that, it was between 3 and 4 standard deviations below the norm.
If you're able to
put it?
Yes.
Okay. So that's significant. But
Glasnow off the board. I'm going to double down on pitchers, really enhance that risk profile, and take Josh Hader, the Brewers.
This is the pitcher-heavy division, so you kind of...
Yeah, I was thinking, should I even it out with a position player? But I just like Hader's upside so much because he has swing and miss stuff. Two-plus pitches at his best.
I think we both feel like that he's a starter.
Yes.
I'm not as worried as I know there's a lot of concerns of, is he... When I'm in our office, I think Josh Hader's a starter. Mm-hmm. And You're taking the Matt Eddy again. This is a Costanza because
pulling a Costanza
because you are taking guys. You took when we did this last time. No, we talked about Montas. You didn't take Montas. You didn't take Montas, but you are here taking a former Oriole who was traded to the Astros, who was traded to the Brewers. So we are talking about a guy who's been a prospect for three different teams before making his big league debut. Also, if you have not seen it, he did a pretty good Wayne's World parody with Brett Phillips. Yeah. So you need to check that out. And when you see, if you're watching that, you see Josh Hader. He didn't have to put a wig on for it. You know, Josh Hader, the hair, you know, works well for Wayne's World right away. So, which way, what was it? Was it, it was Brett's World for Phillips. So, so that gives you Josh Hader. Puts it back to me, and, I'm going to go Josh Bell, even though I do have defensive concerns. Guy could hit. I'm really not much concerned he can hit. And defensively, not a good first baseman, not great in the outfield either. But if, you know, I don't think there's going to be a spot in the outfield for him long term because you've got Polanco, Marte, and Meadows even after McCutchen moves on. But I do think first base, maybe they can get him. Again, we're talking about if he can be a 40, if Josh Bell could be a 30, a reliable 30, range limited, but reliable 30 at first base, you'd play. You're hoping for a 40 defender long-term at first base who will really hit, but I do think he's going to hit. So, Josh Bell.
Yeah.
Sorry at that lukewarm endorsement, Josh. We're glad to have you on my team.
At first base is a position where you can contribute, even if you're a terrible defender.
Again, the Pirates had Pedro Alvarez committing a gazillion errors at first base.
Billy Butler, Kendrys Morales when they played first base. Okay.
But I took a position player, which made it harder for Matt to stay away from taking pitcher after pitcher.
I need to take a position player here. Now I'm taking Albert Almora of the Cubs, number three in the Cubs system. I kind of like Almora, and he's also a redraft for me. I think I had him in our previous iteration from 2014. I like the combination of field to hit and defensive chops.
Where would Ben Badler take Albert Almora if he was doing this draft? I think he would take him really high because he likes the hit.
Yeah, and you know, and I think there's 45 power potential there, and you know he's not a burner, but he gets it done in center field.
No, I this is an interesting pick there. Puts it back to me. I'm gonna go Cody Reed. I'm gonna go Reds left-hander Cody Reed, who was awful in his big league debut. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah,
atrocious.
But he had company. He had Aaron Blair. And Dylan Overton also had historically terrible
Dylan
major
Overton
league
was
debuts.
At a different Dylan Overton was at a that was 12 home runs in 24 innings for Dylan Overton. Oof. I think it was something amazing.
Now, Mariners prospect Dylan Overton.
But the thing about it is with Cody Reed is I do believe I've watched. I mean, again, I'm not a scout. I don't pretend to be one, but I do have a reasonably educated eye. I went back and watched. I believe every Cody Reed big league start. And the things that jumped out from him are when you see him, like if you watch his debut against the Astros, you see the fastball, you see the slider. And if he's locating those, and those are what they were, the firmness that he had in his big league debut, you're talking about a guy who could really have a chance to dominate because he's a left-hander with two pitches that at least 60s, maybe better, especially in this case, a slider, maybe a 60 fastball, 70 slider. Now, by the end of the time, his last start, I believe against the Brewers, it was much, much more of the fastball backed up a grade, the slider backed up a grade or two, especially his inability to locate it. Command and control, we talked about Tyler Glasnow, same thing true of Cody Reed. Consistency of the changeup, there's a lot there that had to improve, but they really are more refinements than they are massive steps forward. So,
My one concern with Reed... it's just that he's largely been a tease as a pro. He had that great stretch with Pensacola in 2015 after following the trade from the Royals. He was outstanding for Pensacola,
amazing,
right through the Southern League playoffs. But outside of that window of time, he has been largely ineffective.
And you know, he was not very good in low A the year before that, coming out of junior college. It's a short track record. You know, on the scouting side, it's a lefty who's up to 96, 97. Touched 7, I believe, this week in spring training. 97 from the left side as a starter with a wipeout slider. There's a lot there to like there. You know, again, kind of a worst-case scenario. You drafted A.J. Puck. Kind of a similar thing. Like, at a worst-case scenario, lefty comes out of the pen throwing 98 to 99
right.
with a slider, and you say that that's useful.
But this is a deep draft pool. As I'm looking at this, I say, man, I wish we had more than 7 rounds.
Let's go 10 on this one.
10 rounds.
We will keep picking for the reader, for the listeners. We will not only top seven count for our 2020 retrospective.
Okay, I'm taking Delvin Perez, shortstop of the Cardinals.
I like that pick. That was my next pick.
In the conversation as the top high school bat in last year's draft, he fell because of the drug suspension right before the draft.
Performance enhancing.
You know, his reputation is as a smooth defender with a chance to hit. And I think if you look at Puerto Rican shortstops, you might get a little starstruck seeing Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor, and think, oh, I got the next one. But I think he's probably a grade OFP below those guys.
Oh, I think so. But at the same time.
Or two.
But at the same time, that could still be a very useful big league starter, and be a grade or two below them.
Lindor is an 8. Let's say Delvin Perez is a 6.
Yeah.
That's your rosy projection.
So you go shortstop there, which that leads me back to, I'll go shortstop also. I will take Kevin Newman, the Pirates shortstop.
I thought you were going to leave him for, man. I think you liked him.
I like him as a value pick at this spot. We are still talking, I mean, when you talk about how deep this division is, we're talking about, these are all top 100 guys. By the way, I mean, you know, we still got top 100 guys on the board here. And how many rounds have we already done?
This is the fifth.
We're in the fifth round, and
fourth.
We're still drafting.
Bottom of the fourth.
Bottom of the fourth, and we're still drafting top 100 guys. This is a really deep division. Newman, you know, again, very high floor, I would say. He's going to be a middle infielder, no question about that. He's probably going to hit for average. The question is how much impact is he going to have, but he's a high average on-base kind of guy with a little bit of pop, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the Cardinals. They treated me well last time. I ended up with Carlos Martinez, with Colton Wong and Steven Piscotty. So I'm going back to the Cardinals. I'm taking Luke Weaver, the number two guy for them this year. Kind of a shorter, less physical right-hander, but with an outstanding changeup. And the Cardinals know what
to do. And a good fastball, too. Like, it's a little straight at times, but, I mean, like, legit fastball velo, at least.
And the Cardinals know what to do with this sort of pitcher, I should say. Look at Waka, Michael Waka, as an example.
So that puts it back to me. A lot of good guys still on the board.
Lance Lynn.
I'm going to go, at this point, I'm going Corey Wright. Brewers number 4 prospect.
I was looking at him, too.
One of the best bats in the 2016 draft, best college bats. Very, very safe phylum. It's interesting here is we've got Ian Happ is still on the board, who was considered one of the best bats in the 2015 college class. I'm taking the 2016 bat. The reason I do that is that with Ian Happ, there are questions about him, where he's going to play defensively. You're either talking about a weak defender, offensive second baseman, or a corner outfielder who is okay in a corner. I'd rather have the guy. Corey Ray is probably a little bit stretched in center, but he was better in center than scouts expected. And in a corner, he's really plus. So I believe in the bat, and I think especially when you talk about a guy who's going to give you some additional value beyond that.
Okay, so I will take Ian Happ. The aforementioned top college bat. I think there's a switch hitter with great hands at the plate. That's what kept coming back to in the Southern League when I ranked the prospects. Because you look at the limitations that you talked about defensively. Are his hands going to be soft enough? Is he going to have quick enough feet to play second? Can he turn the double play? What about the strikeouts? He strikes out an awful lot for a guy without 70 power. But I think when you put it all together and at maturity, I think we're looking at like a Neil Walker type of second baseman. Switch hitter, good offensive player, good enough defender. I'm taking Ian Happ.
Okay. That puts it back to me. A lot of good guys still off on the board. I'm going to take Cardinals catcher Carson Kelly. Safe. I have a very safe pick, I feel like. I'm maybe not taking enough risk here sometimes, but I like him as a well-rounded catcher. When you look at what plays at catcher, when you look at, I challenge you, think back, okay, you know, I'm not putting you on the spot here, but listener, think back and try to name who the Rangers catchers were last year before they added Luke Roy.
Robinson Chirinos. That guy they drafted, left-handed hitter. What's his name? The college catcher.
See, I'm blanking on now. But my point is they had three catchers who all qualify as guys that you would say that was a big league catcher. I mean, they're fringe big leaguers.
Now it's bugging me. I can't think of that.
They got ABs. So Carson Kelly, yeah, he's right now behind Yadier Molina, but he's on a team. You know, catchers this good get ABs.
Okay, so. I'm sticking with the Cardinals. I'm taking Sandy Alcantara, the 100-mile-an-hour right-hander who finished last year in High A. He's probably going to be in Double A, and you might see him at the end of the year in St. Louis. Just power arm. I think the breaking ball is going to come on a little bit. So he was a top 100 guy for me on my personal list, so I'm happy to get him here.
Okay, so this is our seventh pick?
Yes.
So my last official pick is you're going to give me Amir Garrett, the lefty for the Reds. I've done the Reds list for a long time. I remember when Amir Garrett was a high school senior who did not play baseball his senior year, basketball player committed to St. John's. Still got $1 million as an astute late-round pick from the Reds, who at the time basically said, this was pre-draft hard slots and all that. So they drafted him knowing that they were getting a guy who they thought, maybe we will convince him long-term to give up basketball. That's exactly what happened. At least a lefty reliever out of the pen, fastball slider. But I do think there's enough feel, there's enough aptitude to be a starter as early as 2017. At some point in 2017, he'll be in AAA, I think, to start of the year. So I'm pretty happy. Seventh pick, Amir Garrett, who I believe is a top 100 player still, if I remember right. Or if not, he was on the fringe.
Are we doing three more rounds? Like just kind of?
Yeah, we're going to after this.
We'll do lightning rounds?
So now we're doing lightning rounds of 8 through 10. Because we still have a whole lot of guys here who we could go 15 rounds in this where I'm serious. And we would still be taking good guys.
Okay, I'll take Trent Clark of the Brewers. Had a down year in 2016. But I'm hoping for that David Dahl-like rebound this year.
Okay, you take him. I'm going to take Brandon Woodruff, number 7 on the Brewers list, who right-hander who part of an incredible Mississippi State, 2012 Mississippi State team, if I remember right. But great year last year, breakthrough year last year, legit stuff, and much improved feel and control. Again, starter is not that far away from the big leagues.
Eighth round, I will take Magnaris Sierra, the Cardinals. I think
upside.
I think there's a lot of upside here. He's a great defender. He can swing the bat. Power is going to be questioned, but I think in a couple years you could be looking at a Raimel Tapia style of player.
And I think better defensively, better true center fielder in this case. Back to me, and again, this list is still insanely deep. I'm going Lucas Hursig because I love Lucas Hursig. I think a third baseman for the Brewers, number 9 prospect on the Brewers list, but a guy who John Manuel and I both, you know, would probably on our personal list have him much higher on the Brewers list because we both believe in him. I understand why he has to rank here because he's coming off of, first half season, really good half season. But, you know, you can't jump that much farther up from where you were considered at the draft because he wasn't a first-round pick in the draft. But good defensive for the third baseman, ability to hit, kind of everything there. So that's Lucas Hursig for me.
Okay, this is my final pick here.
Let's keep going a little bit. I've got like 5 more guys I want.
Okay.
There's lightning rounding.
I will take Isan Diaz of the Brewers. Okay. Left-handed hitting second baseman with power. Doesn't really run. He's not an outstanding defender, but I think there's some things he can do.
Again, this is why I want to keep going. Dylan Cease. You got 100 mile an hour.
Him or Diaz, yeah.
I'll take 100 mile an hour, too. I got Dylan Cease. Yet to have a lengthy track record of Tommy John surgery right out of high school, but I mean, he throws a hundo too. Does it with an incredibly fast arm. I'll put it this way. If you told me a year from now that people are talking about Dylan Cease the way they talk about Michael Kopech right now, it would not surprise me at all.
Okay. I'm going to take Taylor Trammell of the Reds system. He is just coming off a nice debut in the Pioneer League. Supplemental first-round pick last year who received how much? Like $3 million?
Yeah, like legit money, like first-round money. He was considered, I would say, like, he was not, I mean, you really have to treat him as a first-round pick. I mean,
the Reds had the largest bonus pool, and they gave 6.2 to Nick Senzel, the second overall pick.
And then they gave
pretty much all the rest of it to.
Right. They basically, and Trammell, excellent athlete, was a star high school football player in Georgia. And as I'm from Georgia, I can tell you, football in Georgia, very high level of caliber of play. I mean, legit athlete, but also can really play. This is not a football player who's converting to playing baseball. This is a baseball player who happened to play football as well. So that puts it back to me, and I'm going to go really, like, take the risk, and I'm going to go Oscar De La Cruz. I like that inning he had. So Oscar De La Cruz, a long ways away, Cubs pitcher, but one with really high upside.
Now, it's funny here. If you look at these lists, we have Luis Ortiz of the Brewers still available.
Mm-hmm.
He's their number 3. Robert Stevenson of the Reds, number 4, still available.
Jesse Winker, number 6, who's been a prominent guy. Brian Hayes, who was a prominent guy.
Well, why don't we work toward a conclusion here? Why don't we just make this our final?
See, we haven't even picked Harrison. Yeah. Okay. Yes. it's just a loaded division. But
and I like Jaime Candelario of the Cubs, but I think I'm going to go Luis Ortiz here of the Brewers.
Okay, makes sense.
3-pitch right-hander who's with success at Double A.
So that puts it back to me, and I'll go Robert Stevenson. I will take the chance on a guy who's really, the results have not matched the stuff in recent years. The command and control has to get better. The stuff is not as good as it was when I was writing about him 4 years ago. But at the same time, I've had scouts tell me, you know, he's not that far away. He's still going to be, maybe he's not going to be an ace, but he's still going to, you're talking about a AAA guy who can make some impact. So
yeah, 3 pitches that when you see them at its best, they're 6s or higher.
So again, we could keep going. That was a very loaded division. I will warn
you. Who else tempted you here?
Oh, Harrison Bader. Harrison Bader, a guy who, can he play center field? I don't know, but
cheeseball. I like Eliezer Alvarez, the second baseman mm-hmm. in the Cardinal system. Aristides Aquino, you mentioned. Big power.
Big power for Aquino. Jesse Winker, who's, you know, long time. I like Sal Romano a lot. Sal Romano's going to pitch in the big leagues before long. Get a lot of Jonathan Broxton type comps as a reliever, even though he's a starter right now.
Yeah.
Vladimir Gutierrez and Luis Castillo, both on the Reds list, are both guys who could move, you know, big arms. Brian Hayes, third baseman for the Pirates, who's a guy who was a prominent dude out of high school not that long ago. A little bit of injury plagued first full pro season, but aptitude beyond belief. Stephen Brault, lefty, who, you know, could be a useful back-end rotation starter who's not that far away. Elias Diaz is a very good defensive catcher coming off of an injury. Dakota Hudson, first-round pick SEC pitcher from last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no one on this list. There literally is no one on any of these teams. DJ Wilson, number 9 prospect on the Cubs list, who if we'd have picked another 10 guys, we may not have picked him. But DJ Wilson is a potential impact outfielder with athleticism, with speed, with some pop, feel for hit. This is just a loaded division. Will Craig had a great year in the ACC last year, dominant year, hitter and pitcher. He's number 9 on the Pirates list, and again, I think he would have been one of the last guys we pick. That's how good this division is. It's a fun division. I will warn you, when you listen to the AL Centralists, we're not going to be going 15 deep in the AL Central. Is that fair to say, Matt?
I think so.
You know, it's not as loaded, it's fair to say. But we really enjoy going through this very, very loaded National League Central. We thank you again for listening. We thank you for tuning in. And we want to remind you that our podcasts are sponsored by Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and kids. If you're a baseball fan, you need to check out baseballism.com or visit their retail locations in Cooperstown, New York, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Visit baseballism.com and enter the code BA2017 to save 20% off. So for Matt Eddy, I'm JJ Cooper, and we'll be back with another Baseball America podcast covering the American League Central. We'll keep rolling through these. So long, everybody.
This concludes our program. Want more in-depth baseball coverage? Be a better fan. Visit baseballamerica.com to get more comprehensive baseball coverage.